In this first week of Advent, I have some important counsel and advice from Jesus, from Jeremiah, and from an old favorite, C.S. Lewis. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. A bit unusually today, I actually want to sort of repeat a little of my sermon from this past weekend, or at least touch on a couple points I made in it. As always, if you want to watch the whole thing, you can do that in the link we'll provide here. But I did get a few people reaching out to me following Sunday asking for one of the resources I read from. And so I want to just return to it. I think it has a lot to teach us, and I'm going to lift it up in a moment, but I'll get there by just reminding us all of where we are in the church year. We're now in the first week of Advent, the season of Advent, which means we're at the very beginning of the church year. And as I discussed on this weekend, the readings for the first Sunday of Advent are always sort of related to the Last Judgment. They're slightly apocalyptic. They're related to the Second Coming. You know, Jesus will return in all his glory and so forth. And so there's a bit of fear and trembling that comes with some of these readings. But what I wanted to suggest, and what I hope I did suggest, I guess, is that for the people hearing those messages from Jesus originally, or indeed Jeremiah, which I also talked about, those were the Gospel and Old Testament readings, those messages from Jesus or Jeremiah would have been perceived as messages of hope, reminders of that, of how all things will end, and they will end well. In the words of a later Christian author, Julian of Norwich, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. And part of what I was trying to get at was that by reminding us of that fact, of how the story ends, and the fact that it ends well, it frees us up to be present to what God is asking us to do right now, here and right now. And the reading, more contemporary reading that I lifted up to make that point was from my old friend C.S. Lewis. We've been talking a lot about C.S. Lewis this fall at St. Philip the Deacon. We had Michael Ward from Oxford come to do a Faith and Life talk. We'll link to that talk if you didn't have a chance to hear it. I also led a three-week class about C.S. Lewis. But as I was preparing for my message this past weekend, more than once I made a note in some of my readings saying, oh, don't forget to check what C.S. Lewis said about this. And so I'm just going to go back and read again a few passages from a really wonderful little essay called Learning in Wartime. And this happens to be from a collection called The Weight of Glory. That's both the name of the collection. It's also the name of a sermon he preached that's in the collection. But again, the passage I'm going to be reading from is another talk he gave called Learning in Wartime. He gave it in October 1939 to some undergraduates at Oxford. And so he's giving this talk to them at the very beginning of World War II. And they are all sitting in St. Mary the Virgin Church in the center of Oxford thinking to themselves, why are we here? Why are we at university? The world is falling apart around us. We should be out doing something more important. And Lewis, and again, I touched on this weekend, who you will remember, if you didn't know it, I will tell you now, was a soldier in World War I, where he was almost mortally wounded. He took a blast from a mortar shell and ended up carrying shrapnel around in his body for the rest of his life. Most of his best friends were killed in World War I. And so he knew something about the realities of war and what it meant and the devastation it caused. And so now here he is, a little older, a little wiser, speaking to these students and basically trying to place the war in some kind of perspective to allow them, to free them up to do what God is asking them to do here and now, which is to be, in his mind at least for that moment, to be a student, right? And so again, a few people asked about this after the weekend, and I'll read a couple of the same passages here that I mentioned in my sermon, and maybe even slightly more than what I read in my sermon. Again, his basic point is the world has always been a mess, students, undergraduates. The war doesn't change that fundamentally. And so, among other things, he says, the war creates no new situation. It simply aggravates the permanent human situation so we can no longer ignore it. Human life has always been lived on the edge of a precipice, he says. We are mistaken when we compare war with normal life. And then I love this next sentence, he says. Life has never been normal. He says, every period of history, every one, including the one we're in now, is full of crises, alarms, difficulties, emergencies. At both the macro level, sort of the global level, the national level, and the level closer to our personal lives, whether it's relationships that are broken, whether it's our ill health, whether it's worries about the future, whether it's resentments, all of us are always encountering these kinds of, as he says, crises, alarms, difficulties, and emergencies, right? And so he goes on, therefore, to say, if we let ourselves, we shall always be waiting for some distraction or other to end before we can really get down to our work. Okay, and in this context, I'm suggesting that means whatever God is inviting you to do, all those crises, all those emergencies, all those alarms are going to distract you from the work God wants you to do. But he says, the only people who achieve much are those who want something so badly that they seek it while the conditions are still unfavorable. And then again, a powerful short sentence, favorable conditions never come. If you're waiting for the perfect conditions before you step out on a next adventure, before you respond to God's invitation to do what God is asking you to do, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because again, as he says, favorable conditions never come. And so I'll wrap up with this. Never, he says, in peace or war, commit your virtue or your happiness to the future. Happy work is best done by the person who takes their long-term plan somewhat lightly and works from moment to moment. It is only our daily bread that we are encouraged to ask for. And then this final sentence I'll read. The present, again, here, now, today, the present is the only time in which any duty can be done or any grace received. And so my prayer in this first week of Advent is that, as I mentioned on Sunday, we can take comfort in knowing how the story ends and that it ends well, and that allows us, that frees us to live with hope in the present so we can do God's work here and now. And that's my prayer for you today. I hope you have a blessed Advent season. And until next time, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.